third straight time they have gotten swept in the Eastern Conference Finals. Kick out 2009. That was so long ago. It has nothing to do with this team. And I'd even kick out 2019 for a team that they got where? This was different. And yes, they lost 4-0. Yes, all 4 games were tight. But there was some difference between those two teams. And I thought, why not ask somebody who has been there, who has been to a conference finals and won it, Jeff O'Neill, part of that 2002 team. I appreciate your time, sir. What was the difference in this series, other than the fact that Sergei Bobrovsky was, of course, amazing?
I just think the timely goal scoring, and if you look how clutch Matthew Tkachuk was, and it's a do it or don't league, and you look at, you know, you can't make excuses, but if you have Svechnikov and you have Pacioretty in the lineup, those could have been difference makers and go-to guys, especially Svechnikov. There's not really an answer to Matthew Tkachuk right now. But if you look at a guy that's big and physical and that's clutch and can score goals, he might have been a big-time difference. But you can never make excuses, because the Colorado Avalanche, way back in the day, they won the Stanley Cup without Peter Forsberg. And other guys took on the, you know, the added assignments and pressure, and they got it done. So it's never the way to look at it. But, man, you put Svech in that lineup and Pacioretty, who I think in the past has never really been like a go-to playoff type guy. But those guys can score goals, and that's what it's all about. And with the combination of, you know, Tkachuk and Bobrovsky and Barkov, and their guys just know when to chip in. They've got it going right now. They've got the mojo. And it was much like our team in 2002. We had a confidence and a belief that every night somebody else was going to pop up and do it. But it was the Reinhardts and Bennetts and Verhaeghes that they just, every night they're going to step up and do it. And they've got a perfect mix right now, and they've got all the momentum going for them. And Carolina, Roddy mentioned it after the game, it could have went either way, but they just had the positive mojo on their side.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you flipped a coin, you could get heads 4 times in a row. And that's basically kind of what happened. Yeah. They're all coin flip games. But I would point out, in my opinion, there's a reason that they all went the way of Florida. And I'm not sure that, because in last night's game, to me, Sam Bennett was the key figure in the two biggest moments of the game. The hit on Jacob Slavin, which was, as my initial reaction was, that's dirty because it's Sam Bennett. But in looking at it again, it looked like the initial contact was through the chest, even though there was helmet-to-helmet contact, which I guess could have been called. And then just kind of getting in the way, bothering Freddie Anderson in the goal mouth. He put his stick between his pads. I don't know that he interfered, but he was certainly interfering, if you will. And Sam Bennett, that mindset, I don't think Carolina has that.
You know what? It's an excellent point. And I try to say that in this market a lot, with players such as Nylander and Marner and Matthews. And if you want to take it to Carolina, maybe it's Aho or Teravainen or Natchez, that it doesn't necessarily have to be a toe drag or a one-timer from the slot under the bar to make a contribution to the hockey game. And Sam Bennett, what you just mentioned, is a classic example. He took their best defenseman out of the game with an unbelievable body check. It's textbook forechecking, and he just melted him behind the net. There was nothing illegal about that. Massive impact in the game. Mm-hmm. And then you look at him just causing problems in front of the net. That's another massive impact in the game. So for some of these skill players that think it all has to be skill plays to have a contribution in a big hockey game, it's completely the wrong mentality. And it just goes back to a bigger picture. Do you want a guy like Natchez that can put up some points during the regular season and then maybe shy away from the physical stuff? I don't think he played great in the playoffs. Maybe he was noticeable a bit in the first couple rounds, chipping in with some offense. But when things get tough, the Reinhardts, the Bennetts, the Tkachuks, the Barkovs, they're right there. And they don't shy away and they don't disappear. And it's a major factor come playoff times. And it seems like teams are still insistent and hoping that these skill guys will get it and learn to play when it gets to that level. And it never seems to be the case. So I don't know. You got to find a balance. You got to have guys that can put up points and get you in the playoffs. But come playoff time, Adam, it's a completely different beast. There's so many different bright people that had different ways of thinking about it. And I was just talking to our head professional here at Weston Golf Club in Toronto discussing this, saying it's a lot about intangibles come playoff time. It's not about skill and fancy stuff with the puck. It's just not about that.
Yeah, it isn't. And like we go back to your team in 2002, there was a lot of grit on that team and a lot of willing to mix it up. It wasn't the biggest team in the world, but there was a lot of willing to.
If you look at the job that Eric Cole and Bates Battaglia and Rod Brind'Amour, there was just they would overtake teams in their offensive zone, and I think it was a little disappointing for that decor of the Canes too. Watching them play in the regular season, they controlled and dictated play, and they seemed to be out of sorts on some of the overtime losses and some of their defensive zone coverage. So that was probably disappointing for the Canes to watch. But I think you get a healthy lineup. You can't blame Freddie Anderson for the way he played. He went in there and he did a pretty damn good job for a guy that's been a question mark in the past. So I think there's a lot of positives to build off of. They just, if maybe they can, you know, you get that healthy lineup and you get a little bit more kind of grizzle in there. I don't know who that would be or how they would do that, but I'm sure that's possibly something that they would be looking at.
Jeff O'Neill is joining us here. A couple of more minutes before I let you go. By the way, I know Freddie in Toronto has been, it's almost been a punchline. Based on the way he played in his 9-10 starts in the postseason, has that changed at all, or has the cake already been baked?
Well, he did what he did here. That's on nobody else but Freddie. He was, you know, mystery injuries, and nobody knew what was wrong, and bunch of game sevens where he couldn't get it done and didn't perform well. That's on him. He has to own that, but you got to give the guy props. He found a way to get healthy, which I think surprised everyone, and he went in there and he played pretty well and he gave his team a chance to win. So it's good on him that he could respond like that, and maybe that's something for him to build on in the future.
Jeff O'Neill is with us here. When you look at Sebastian Aho,
I thought
the Slavin hit unnerved Aho to the point, I think it took him out of his game. I thought he was all over the place in not a good way in the first period. He took one penalty, Aaron Ekblad seemed to go down pretty easily on that, and Florida scored to make it 2-0. And then he thought he was called for another penalty, and maybe he could have. I thought he was just completely out of sorts. But can Aho be your best player and you're a successful team? And in other words, a Stanley Cup champ.
Well, it's a great question, and he definitely is one of my favorite players in the league. He's been so clutch and so good for his for his tenure in Carolina. But you look at the expectation, can he battle and go up against a Barkov? If he's going to be your 1A spotlight centerman, it's, you know, you look at the guys throughout the league, and he got through the first two rounds, but then it's like a different level. Things get tough, and he's never going to out-physical you. He's not going to be a Sam Bennett. But we go back to Svechnikov. If you put that big horse on the wing, it makes a guy like Aho feel pretty comfortable out there because he's big, he's physical, and he does some of the dirty work. I got to play with Ronnie Francis, and I tried to do that. I tried to get deliver the hits in the corner, get him the puck, and then let him do the work. Sometimes when you got to do that yourself. It's not really in your game. So players complement each other and feed off of each other with their different skill sets. And I think he needs that Svechnikov to benefit off each other. A big guy that gets in the forecheck, creates turnovers, and then Aho can do his work. He's a fantastic player, and I think sooner or later down the line, he's going to get the job done.
Well, I do too. I do think that they need somebody next to him, and maybe that's Svechnikov, who hasn't quite gotten all the way there yet. Who knows what would have happened this postseason but for the ACL injury. Either that, or they need maybe somebody else on his left side or right side, either way. I don't know. You were a right shot or a left shot?
I was a right shot, and it seems like it's a copycat league, and everyone's going to be scouring the league looking for that Sam Bennett who's out there.
Yeah.
Frustrated with another team that maybe just needs a chance somewhere else. So we'll see what happens.
Jeff O'Neill, I appreciate your time, man. Go hit him straight if you're out at the club. Otherwise, we'll talk again down the road.
Okay, Adam, thanks for having me.
Cheers. You got it. Jeff O'Neill here on the Adam Gold Show. What I wanted to get to, and I'm glad Jeff brought it up, And I know we had our big meeting here. We have meetings a couple times a week, and we were talking about it. And I said, Graham, you were there, so my opinion. Carolina could have won all four games, but there was a reason why Florida won the moments. This is a team that needs to add size. Sometimes size doesn't look sexy analytically. But maybe that size and that player who doesn't necessarily look good, you know, in the possession metrics, sometimes that guy actually makes you better. Maybe he doesn't make you better for 82 games, but maybe he makes you better for 25. And I'm not talking about 25 games in the regular season. I'm talking about 25 games in the playoffs. And that's where Carolina missed. The goal scoring matters. There's a lot of things that we can discuss, right? The goal scoring matters. But kicking 2019 out as the Hurricanes were still trying to build their roster and trying to figure out, you know, who are the pieces we're going to take? I mean, you knew it was Aho. You knew it was Teravainen. You knew the players that they were taking forward. They're still trying to figure out who they were. And then the next year was weird because, of course, the pandemic shut it down. And even then, if you recall that second season, they didn't move into a comfortable playoff spot until right before the shutdown. They were the sixth seed, I believe, when they got to the bubble. Played the Rangers and beat the Rangers three straight before losing to the Bruins in five. But the following year is when they started to emerge as, all right, this is who we are. This is our identity. And so they won that division, which was a great division. It had the Stanley Cup champion in it. It had Florida in it, and you could see what Florida was about to become. And then the next year, Florida was the President's Trophy winner playing in the other division. And Carolina won the Metro, the division they were never supposed to win. And then they did it again this year. Again, toughest division in hockey. Although, I think the Atlantic has something to say about that. You know, especially with the way Boston played, you got Tampa, you got Toronto, Buffalo coming, Detroit coming, Ottawa coming. There were a lot of good teams. Florida, duh, in the Atlantic. So maybe the Atlantic was a tougher division. I don't know. But certainly the Metro was stout. The East is great. But the regular season and the playoffs are almost two different sports. It's the reality. Almost two different sports. And the way this Carolina team is constructed, there's a lot of the same. So Jeff O'Neill brought up Martin Natchez. I thought Jeff was being kind. I think Martin Natchez had about 20 minutes of a playoff series. The time that encompassed the tying goal in game four and the go-ahead goal in game four against the Devils. That was the postseason for Martin Natchez. He had points. Not a lot, but he had points. He was about a half a point a game, which is not what Martin Natchez was for the first three quarters of the season. And I don't. This is not all about Martin Natchez. He had company. But Natchez, there is a phrase in hockey, all hockey fans understand it, take a hit to make a play. And that is not what Martin Natchez is about. It didn't look that way anyway. So this is an offseason where Natchez has to do one of two things. He has to be ready and willing to engage physically in the playoffs. Or he is who he is, and that's very possible that this is what Martin Natchez is. And he will never be able to impact the game in a positive way consistently in the postseason. Now, I've had too many people tell me, well, they have to move on. Got to get rid of him. No, they're not trading a $3 million a year player who's probably going to post 60 points next year. And even if the number is 50, they ain't trading the guy who makes $3 million to do that. But the next contract, that's the issue. He's got one more year left at $3 million, at least in terms of a cap. And I think it's a little bit higher in terms of salary, but not much. I think it was $2.5 million, $3.5 million over 6 years, over 2 years. So, I mean, that's the reality of it. So, but if Natchez can, because he's got a big frame, he's a strong kid, he's obviously a great skater. If Natchez can commit to being, and he said at the end of last year, I have to be willing to go to the dirty areas. He's got to be there. And if he can get there and be a factor in the middle of the ice, now you're talking about a different player. But he has to be able to do that. So that's what Carolina is missing off this team. They are missing size and I'm trying to think of a word. There's a G word that I'm trying to, guts.
Grit?
We'll just
okay.
use guts, okay? You have to be willing to put your, let's say it this way. Seth Jarvis plays a fearless game. If Martin Natchez played like Seth Jarvis, he'd be an all-star. A flat-out all-star. The jury is out on how high up your lineup Seth Jarvis can play because of his size. That's just reality. Jarvis has no fear. He played a physical game. He was dishing out hits.
Blocking shots.
Seth Jarvis was arguably my favorite player for Carolina in the postseason because of the way he played. He attacked the game. He's still young. He's going to get stronger. He has to get stronger. He's got to finish more opportunities. All year long, Seth probably was in position to score a lot more goals than he did. So let's see how that progresses. But second year in the league, the jury ain't out on Seth Jarvis. But he's got to be able to get stronger so he can finish through some of the contact. I mean, it could be a great combination, Jarvis and Aho and somebody to the left with some muscle and some size that can also play. I feel like I've just described Andrei Svechnikov. I don't know why. All right.